technologically we're wiring the planet, theologically we are short-circuiting our psyches. I'm thinking today as I do the broadcast about the Columbine killings 10 years ago. The title of the late Robert Bork's book, Slouching Towards Gomorrah, pulsated through my mind like neon 10 years ago as I was watching the aftermath of the killings. And while a cacophony of Christian voices claim we're in the midst of a massive revival, to me it's apparent that Western civilization has become a monster of decadence. And we are now slouching not towards Bethlehem, we're slouching towards Gomorrah. The tragedy at Columbine High 10 years ago is merely the latest in a series of wake-up calls. While presidents are intoxicated by the prospect of wiring schools for the information age, we are losing the souls of our children. Visual stimuli and information bombardment have become a sick substitute for wisdom and understanding. As our kids travel down this information highway, they've picked up a bias against reason, rationality, responsibility. The problem is that, by and large, our children lack the necessary skills to process information, and as a result, they become increasingly nihilistic. And out of that nihilism has emerged a culture of death. While this culture has produced a muddy mixture of the macabre, two distinct images have emerged. I call them white-knuckled and bare-knuckled. The white-knuckled kids, perhaps best characterized by the Gothic scene. Goths live on the edge, they're fascinated with death and a love of the morbid. They watch scary movies, they walk through graveyards, and their dark gender-bending clothing and fingernail polish, contrasted with white pancake makeup portraying a sense of the haunted, and they pride themselves on being individualistic and introspective and consider their preoccupation with the dark side just a harmless form of artistic self-expression. In contrast, you have bare-knuckled kids characterized by the industrial scene and more apt to manifest violence and aggression. Their songs not only satirize social and spiritual virtues, but fixate on shocking musical expressions of serial killing, of suicide, even sadomasochism. And as with the Columbine killers, these industrial teens often display a bizarre fascination with blood-drenched video games. Rather than merely being fascinated by death, bare-knuckled kids are often fixated on destruction. Look, those who suggest that there's no connection between what our kids see and hear and how they're acting are just dead wrong. Studies suggest a direct causal relationship between violent behavior and the kind of violence portrayed in movies, the kind of violence you see in music, and even magazines, and billions of advertising dollars are spent each year on the very premise that behavior is going to be impacted. And as underscored by the late Robert Bork, music is used everywhere to create attitudes. Armies use martial music. Couples listen to romantic music. Churches use organ music. And as has been well said, the information industry is on the verge of becoming a hallucinogenic barrage of images whose only grammar is pacing and whose principal theme is energy. We're losing the ability to manage ideas, to contemplate and to think. The insights of Carl Bernstein, I think, are poignant and direct. I remember him saying we are creating the idiot culture. For the first time in our history, the weird and the stupid and the coarse are becoming cultural norms, maybe even cultural ideals. Christians, however, should not be content to just curse the darkness. We have to be prepared to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. It's imperative that we look beyond the destructive behavior of troubled teens and minister to their alienation and despair. We must see our children as even a higher calling than our careers. Our children don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. They're not unreachable. They are a mission field, an often neglected mission field in our very own homes. We have to come to grips with the fact that Congress and the courts are not the real problem. The real problem is Christians who have abdicated their responsibility to be salt and light. I love what Oz Guinness said. He once said that the time has come for evangelicals to wake up from their lethargy or turn from our fear and our blaming and victim playing. We have to move out into all spheres of society, present the case for the gospel of Jesus in fresh and powerful, imaginative, compassionate, persuasive ways. And having said all of that, I think it's important to celebrate rays of sunshine peering through the clouds. I see them all the time with the kids that come into my home. And I, too, am personally grateful for a house full of kids that love the Lord, kids that are excited to use their gifts for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom, kids that look forward to the future, and of course, the future beyond the future, because this life is here today, gone tomorrow. We see it in the tragedies that our kids experience when their friends die at young ages. We see death all around us. And as a result, it is ever more critical that we begin living for that which is eternal, and that we put our priorities straight, the emphasis on the main and plain things. And of course, it is our mission at the Christian Research Institute to do that every single day, and we thank those that stand with us in the process.